Morning. How you doing? Is that great, huh? How you doing? It is good to see you. I missed you last week. Chip talked about the foreign missions and Lottie Moon offering. I had the pleasure of being with several missionaries in New Orleans over the weekend and first part of the week. We were planning trips that are going to be happening in the coming up in our summer. And so looking forward to that. We're going to be going, I'm personally going to be going to Johannesburg. We've got folks going to various places around the world. I think there's like 50-something trips that we are going to be taking, that we're going to be taking over the summer. So that is really exciting that God is doing that. We could plug people in to do things and go places. And so if you want to go to South Africa with me this summer, I need you to talk to me. I'm going at two different times, actually. I'll be going twice, going in May for a couple of weeks, and then in July for a week and maybe one or two days. And so we're bringing students on both of those. And so it'll be great. It'll change your life. It changed my life. That's why I keep going back. And so we want you not just to know about missions, not just to give to missions, but we want you to actually go on missions as well. And so we're going to also be looking for other opportunities around in our area and also in other places that you may want to plug in and be able to go on mission trips as well. And so this morning, I want to thank Chip for taking my place last week, talking about all in and doing all we can. It's beginning of the year. I know we're on the third week already, but we want to talk about what does it mean for us to go all in with God. And so today I want to talk about actually going all out. We've talked about now or never, taking the step. Last week, Chip talked about going all in, giving everything. Today, I want to talk about going all out, doing absolute everything we are called to do. And so the subtitle of the sermon, if you will, is Rim Huggers. I don't know how many of you have ever, show of hands, you can actually answer this question. Have you ever gone to the Grand Canyon? Oh, all four of us. All right. How many of you have seen pictures of the Grand Canyon? Awesome. Let me tell you something. For those of you only seen pictures, it is pretty grand. And it is a canyon, so the name is pretty apt. But it's great. I was able to go a few years ago. We took students to Glorieta several times. Or as a BCM director, we would take students to Glorieta, New Mexico. And the Grand Canyon, if you pass up Glorieta and go a few more hours, like about six, you will find the Grand Canyon. And so what we decided to do was, for those students who wanted to go a few days earlier, we would tack on a little bit of money, and we would take them to the Grand Canyon, and then we would come back and spend the week in Glorieta, New Mexico with 2,000 of our closest college friends. And so we did that one year, and we went to the Grand Canyon, and we get there in the evening. We check into wherever we're going to be staying, and we drive down to the Grand Canyon Park, and we go to this place, and we watch the sun go down, because we get there about that time of day. And it's one of those, don't fall in, stay together, check things out. And it was absolutely beautiful. The next day, we actually went early in the morning, or we went in the morning, and we began to walk around the Grand Canyon. And they've got it set up so you can walk a little ways. If you get tired, you jump on a bus and come back to the main lodge, or you can keep walking, and there's several stops. And so I've made a good ways around. You walk, you look over. There are places where they had safety rails. There were places where they didn't, and it did concern me a little bit. But you could look over and see the vastness of how deep this thing is. Now, I had a certain view. I was able to look down in it and see what it looks like. But the next day, some more brave students and some students who actually were a little more fit than this body is decided to hike down in the canyon. There's a weight limit on the mules, and so I didn't want to hurt any mules. So I stayed back that day, and I went. There was a big IMAX thing you could go and watch some history about the Grand Canyon. And so I never went down in the Grand Canyon. It is, there's opportunities for you to hike down one day, spend the night, and hike back out the next day. It is massive. And so I've never seen the perspective of looking down. I've seen this perspective of looking down in the Grand Canyon, but I've never seen the perspective of looking up. And those who have actually gone through the Grand Canyon say that it is hard, it is difficult, but it is majestic when you're down there and you're also looking up at how things are. And in reality, I am just a rim hugger. When it comes to the Grand Canyon, I stayed at the rim. I got close to the edge. I looked over the edge. I saw some perspective of it, but I dared not venture down a trail to go in the Grand Canyon. I saw people down there kind of climbing up, but I never went down. I was a rim hugger. I never went in. Today, I want to talk about the difference of being someone who is a rim hugger versus someone who really goes all out. Versus someone who's on the rim versus someone who actually goes on the hike. Today, our world, there's a world of difference between knowing about God and really knowing God. There's a world of difference of standing on the rim and knowing things about God versus being down there in the canyon and looking and understanding the vastness of God and really knowing God. Sadly, most Christians are rim huggers. We stay back from the edge. We look over. We don't want to get too involved. We don't want to test our faith too much. We don't want to do too many things. And we want to spend all of our time on the edge. We just want to hug the edge. We want to be the rim huggers. And we want to spend eternity with God. We just don't want to spend time with Him. And I don't know where you are today, but I hope that if you are a rim hugger, that you're challenged to take the step. That you're challenged to go the extra mile with God. You're challenged to take the step and to begin to spend time with God and do things He calls you to do. Step out on faith. Do what the other world, the other Christians who are just rim huggers refuse to do. See, the thing is, we're satisfied with the superficial. We want joy without sacrifice. We want to have character without any failure. We want to have success without any pain. We want to have a testimony, but we don't want to have a test. We want to have it all, but we don't want to go all out. Too many of us want the reward without ever doing the work. And so God has called us not to be rim huggers, to actually pursue Him and to go after our faith. We can't just be sightseers when it comes to our spiritual life. You can't just come and hang out for 60 minutes on a Sunday. You can't just go to church. You have to be the church. And God calls us to be more than just the rim huggers, to see things and not participate. So what I want to do is I want to propose to you that sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Think about it. 20 seconds of insane courage. That's all it took for Peter to get out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat. He did go down a little bit, and Jesus was there to pick him up. But Peter's the only guy who could say he walked on water besides Jesus. Took him 20 cents of insane courage to get out of the boat. It only took David about 20 seconds of insane courage to charge Goliath. Imagine if you're there. You've volunteered to fight a giant, and you get on the battlefield. What do? 20 seconds of insane courage to charge Goliath. It only took Zacchaeus about 20 seconds of insane courage to climb up into the tree so he could see Jesus. It only took me about 20 seconds of insane courage to ask Danielle's daddy if I could marry her. 20 seconds of insane courage can change your life. Not just the life you live in the day-to-day stuff, but it can change your life in a spiritual sense. So what if you had 20 seconds of insane courage? What if you had those 20 seconds of insane courage and you follow God's instruction? How would your life change? This morning, I want to look at a story in 1 Samuel. That's in the Old Testament. If you want to go to the Old Testament, it'll be in chapter 14. In 1 Samuel, there's this story about, there's this contrast between two guys. One guy is the king, and the other guy is his son. The first guy, Saul, is out, and there's a battle brewing. His son, Jonathan, is there, who's the other guy. And we're going to contrast. We're going to look at, are we Saul's or are we going to be Jonathan's? So this morning, chapter 14 of 1 Samuel, we find this story where Saul and the Philistines are about to be in battle. But instead of pursuing them, instead of going at the battle, instead of pursuing the fight, Saul is hanging out underneath a pomegranate tree. And he's holding out. So this morning, let's look at this story. We're going to read the first 14 verses that we find in the text. And we're going to see the difference between someone who holds out and is just a rim hugger versus someone who goes all out and makes the height. So check this out. In chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "That same day, Saul's son Jonathan said to the attendant who carried his weapons, 'Come on, let's attend, or let's cross over to the Philistine garrison on the other side.' However, he did not tell his father. Saul, who's the king, was staying under the pomegranate tree in Migron, on the outskirts of Gibeah. The troops with him numbered about 600. So Saul's there with about 600 men. You skip to verse 4. It picks up and it says, "There were sharp columns of rock on both sides of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine garrison. On one was named Bozaz and the other Sina. One stood to the north in front of Michmash, and the other to the south in front of Gibeah. Jonathan said to his attendant who carried his weapons, 'Come on, let's cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised men, i.e. the Philistines, because perhaps the Lord will help us. Nothing can keep the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few.' His armor bearer responded, 'Do what is on your heart. You choose. I'm right here with you, whatever you decide.' 'All right,' Jonathan replied, 'we'll cross over to the men and let them see us. If they say, wait until we reach you, then we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us or come on up, then we'll go up, because the Lord has handed them over to us. That will be our sign.'" Verse 11 says, "They let themselves be seen by the Philistine garrison. And the Philistines said, 'Look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they've been hiding.' The men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer, 'Come on up and we'll teach you a lesson.' 'Follow me,' Jonathan told his armor bearer, 'for the Lord has handed them over to Israel.' Jonathan climbed up using his hands and his feet with his armor bearer behind him. Jonathan cut them down and his armor bearer followed and finished them off. In that first assault, Jonathan and his armor bearer struck down about 20 men in a half acre field." Okay, now you got to get this picture in your mind. We've got two men. The first guy we see is the guy who's holding out. Saul is holding out. And in reality, he's hiding out. There's this comparison of a guy who should be a great king and a great fighter. You read the background of Saul and you realize that he is head and shoulders above the rest. He's the tallest guy. He's the most brute man there. He is like Gaston on the Beauty and the Beast. You know, he's the guy who should be out there and fighting the fight. Yet he's hiding underneath a pomegranate tree, him and his 600 men, because the Philistines are out to get him. He's hiding. He's holding out. He's a rim hugger. Saul's being a rim hugger, but Jonathan is being the climber. Saul is playing not to lose, while Jonathan is playing to win. And too many of us are like Saul. We hide from defeat. We hide from any possibility of God calling us out. We hide from anything that God may call us to do. And we say, I don't want anything. I just want to play it safe. I want to hide out. And Saul is letting his fear dictate his decisions. How many of us do that? We let fear dictate our decisions. We let fear help us decide whether we do follow God or play it safe. We let fear tell us, if you do this, then God, you're going to have to get me out of it. Versus if I do something else, everything is going to be okay. We let fear decide what we should do. How many times have I heard parents say, I can't send my kid on a mission trip because they'll have to get in a plane and go to a foreign country, and they may, if it's Africa or whatever else, and it's like, there's no way we can do that. I've heard about Africa in the news, and they let fear decide whether or not they're going to let their child be obedient to God. Let me challenge you today. Don't let fear make your decisions for you. Follow God. Don't hold out like Saul is doing. Saul is holding out on God while Jonathan is going to go all out for God. How many of us hold out? How many of us let fear dictate what we do? How many of us want to play it safe hiding underneath a tree? Well, Jonathan says, I'm fed up with that. I'm not hiding anymore. It's time to get some action. It's time to follow God. It's trying to do what I should do. And Jonathan says, it's time to go all out. Jonathan goes all out. You see, Jonathan is ready to pick a fight. Imagine what's going on. He's tired of sitting underneath a tree. So he gets his armor bearer and he says, come on, let's go. So they start to walk out, and when they walk out, they come to this pass where it's really high cliffs, and they're very sharp cliffs. It's hard to climb up, and so Jonathan proposes to his armor bearer. He says, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to let the Philistines see us because they're on the top. They have the high ground. If you've ever played any kind of army games or if you've ever been in the military, the high ground is where you want to be. And so they have the high ground. Jonathan and his armor bearer are on the low ground, and they have not been seen yet. And so Jonathan says, let's show them. Let's show them we're here. And if they say, hold up, we're coming down to you, then we'll just have a talk. If they say, come on up, God has given them to us and we're going to take them out. Now you need to understand, Jonathan has made the decision that if we have to do the hardest thing, then that means God give them to us. You see, it's one thing to come down a cliff. It's another thing to climb up it. And when you're climbing up the cliff, you are vulnerable to the person on the top. So Jonathan says, we're going to make ourselves not only seen, we're going to make ourselves vulnerable to attack. It's one thing to come down a cliff. It's another thing to climb up a cliff because it takes a lot more energy. Now, if your body is made like mine, you understand that when it comes to climbing upstairs and coming downstairs. It just gives you a kind of a picture. If you've got 5 flights of stairs, by the time you get to the top, you're huffing and puffing. Versus coming down them, it's much easier. So Jonathan says, if we go the hard way, God's with us. If we go the easy way, we're just going to try to talk ourselves out of this. which way would you pick? I mean, I wouldn't even made that deal. I'd have said, if they come down, then God has given them to us because we don't have to do a whole lot of work. We'll just get them when they get here. But no, Jonathan picks the horror one. That's crazy. Jonathan's crazy. He's nuts. He says, come on over. Let's go to the outpost on the other side. Let's check it out. Going all out always takes the first step of faith. Because Jonathan could be very safe underneath the pomegranate tree. But he's taken the first step of faith and said, let's go and let's be seen. Let's make them know that we are here. And so you've got to decide, is the pain of staying the same greater than the pain of change? Think about that. Is the pain of staying the same greater than the pain of change? Most of us don't like change. And we only change when the pain of staying the same is worse than the pain of changing. When it hurts less, then we'll change. And that's very true in church world when it comes to the way we do things, to the programs we do. We can't get rid of that. Even though there's one person coming, we've got to really do that anyway. When we could be reaching 50, 60 people in another area, we don't want to change because it means we're going to be called to do something different. We're going to have to be called to give more. We're going to be called to do more. And it's like, oh, I don't want to do more. So we've got to decide that it's worth it. Even if it hurts. And that's what Jonathan does. He says, I've got to change. So in your year, when you want to go all out for God, you got to realize it may hurt. And that's okay. Because change is not a bad thing. But sometimes it comes with pain. And you've got to realize that that pain is okay. That pain is good. And so they're going to climb up to them. And so Jonathan goes nuts. He's crazy. What is he thinking? He had to climb up a cliff on his hands and feet. That's how sharp this cliff is. He couldn't just walk up the cliff. He has to bend over and pull himself up as he pushes himself up. This is not an easy climb. He's outnumbered 10 to 1. What motivates him? What says we can do this? What says I have a chance? What says I have the ability to beat these Philistines? Is it his training? Is it the fact of his stature, of who he is? I'm the king's son. I'm the prince. I should win anyway. What motivates Jonathan to say I can even try this? He makes a statement. And I don't want you to gloss over it. I don't want you to think it's just a spiritual statement. But it is the statement by which Jonathan is going to live by. He makes the statement. What triggers his 20 seconds of insane courage? He says this. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. I'm going to do this and I'm going to pray God helps. I'm going to do this, and I'm hoping, and I'm praying, and I'm waiting for the Lord to work on my behalf. But in the meantime, I'm going up. See, most of us act one of two other ways. Too many of us have a different mindset. Too many of us say, well, maybe God won't act on my behalf. And so I'm not going to try. We let fear again. We let fear dictate our decision instead of our faith. So God says, go. And we're like, well, wait, I'm scared of that. So we stay underneath the pomegranate tree on the outskirts of the danger. And we just look in and we're rim huggers and we look and say, oh, look what God could have done. But what if he didn't come with me? The other thing we sometimes do is we wait for God to do it all. We say, God, I'm going to ask you to do this, and I'm going to wait. And we wait. And we wait. And we do nothing. And regardless, we're all stuck underneath the pomegranate tree because we don't want to live in faith. We let fear do it all. So what are you going to do when God calls you to do something? Are you going to say, perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf? Notice Jonathan doesn't say the Lord will act on our behalf. I told him he would, and therefore he's going to do it because I'm doing something that most people would think is crazy. It's not what he says. He says, I'm going to follow God even if it costs me my life. And too many of us think we're a failure if we fail at what we're supposed to do instead of being obedient. You see, obedience is the goal, not worldly concepts of success. Jonathan's willing to go all out. He's willing to go up and he says, I'm going to take the hardest path. I'm going to climb up the hill if they tell me to, even if it's on my hands and feet, and God has given them over to us. I'm going to go all out. Tired of hugging the rim, tired of hanging underneath the pomegranate tree. I'm tired of seeing God move in other people's life. I'm tired of seeing God change other people's world. And now I'm just over here, scared as can be, hiding. So Jonathan lets himself be seen. And the Philistines say, oh, look who decided to show up. They came out of their holes. In other words, they've been hiding. And the Philistines mocked them. You know what? The world mocks us because we claim to worship and to know an all-powerful God, yet we hide in the corner in fear underneath a tree, and we don't want anybody to see us. And when we finally let our faith barely come out of the cracks, they laugh at us. Why? Because we're scared to death to let people know that we worship a God who we owe all our life to. So they let themselves be seen, and the Philistines laugh at them. But check out what God does in response to faith. God's response to faith is not, oh, this will be fun. Let's see what you can do, Jonathan. Jonathan begins to climb. And you got to get this picture in your mind. He's climbing a steep cliff. And as the guy comes to him, he stabs him and pulls him down so that his armor bearer could kill him. You see that? He's climbing up a sharp cliff, killing people while he's on his hands and feet, pulling them down so the armor bearer could finish him off. And he kills about 20 men like this. Now, if I'm man number three, I'd have figured out from man number one and two, I'm not into this anymore. But the Philistines apparently were not quick learners. And so Jonathan just keeps doing it. He keeps stabbing him, pulling him down. Armor bearer finishes him off. Stab him, pull him down. Armor bearer finishes him off. Climb up a little more, do it to the next guy. Climb up a little more, do it to the next guy. And God looks at that and he begins to see that, wow. They're not just talking about faith. They're not just doing a Bible study. They're not just having a meeting. They are actually doing something. And God's response to their faith is to act on their behalf. Isn't that amazing? God's response to their faith is to act on their behalf. So God's response to faithful action. This is what I want you to get. God responds to action. When you act in faith, God responds. Now, it may not always be the response you want, but he does respond. In verse 23, if you skip down through the next paragraph, Saul and those guys finally say, oh, we're winning, let's go fight. But at the end of that paragraph, in verse 33, it says, so the Lord saved Israel that day. 20 seconds of insane faith. To leave the comfort of a pomegranate tree. 20 seconds of insane faith to start climbing up a cliff. And God delivered Israel, who was scared to death, hiding in holes from the Philistines. So this is what I got to tell you. Is don't ask what if. Don't live life with regrets. Go all out. Let me give you three ways to go all out. First way is this. Pick a fight. Jonathan picks a fight. Go all out. Pick a fight. That's what Jonathan does. How does he do it? Or how should you do it? I would say you start on your knees. Start on your knees, because prayer is actually picking a fight with the devil. You see, if you don't pray and you don't ask God to do stuff, if you don't pray and ask God to change your life, if you don't pray and ask God to intervene on the behalf of people, if you don't pray and ask God to change the life of your brother, your sister, your friend, your cousin, whomever, where you want them to come to know God, if you refuse to pray for it, then Satan ain't going to come after you. Because you're doing what Satan wants you to do. You're leaving them lost. You're refusing to pray for something on behalf. And when you begin to pray, God begins to move. And so if you refuse to pray, then Satan has nothing to fight against. And so God, so how can you pick a fight? Start by praying. Prayer is spiritual warfare. So pick a fight. The second thing is play offense. Too many of us are playing defense. Too many of us are staying underneath the pomegranate tree. If you go to Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, depending on what your translation says, will not overcome it. Now let me give you some things about this. Gates. Think about gates. Gates, by nature, are defensive. Okay? Why do you put a gate up? Because you don't want somebody to come in. And the idea is that the saints will attack. And so we've got to play offense and not defense. When you attack, you're going after something. And the gates are there to protect it. So it implies that you will come after it. So gates are defensive in their being. Secondly, Jesus says, go. He says, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You cannot go on defense. You have to, when you go, it's offensive. So play offense, and practically look for God-ordained opportunities. When the person at work says, I can't believe, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, maybe you should offer to pray with them. When your family member says, I just don't know what's going on, I can't take this, that, or something else, and you give them godly wisdom. Look for God-ordained opportunities in which you can share your faith, in which you can bring the gospel into the conversation. And the last thing is this, face your fears. Face your fears. Pray that you don't let fear dictate your decisions. Too many of us let fear dictate our decisions. And if you begin to read books about these companies that become great, or these men who do great things, or these women who do these crazy great things, you will find that in their life and on their path, on their way to becoming great, they failed a lot. Realize that failure is part of success. Because when you refuse to fail, you will never succeed, because you won't try anything new. Our biggest fear is the fear of failure. But failure is always a part of every success story. Jonathan was willing to fail. He says, perhaps the Lord will be with us today. He doesn't promise anything to his armor bearer. He was willing to die that day. He had no guarantee that God was going to let him out of that. But he says, I'm going to put my faith in God. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of being a rim hummer. It's time to become a climber. And Jonathan goes all out. It's time for you to go all out. Don't just be a spectator. Don't just be a spiritual sightseer. Don't just be someone who comes to church for 60 minutes and says, I'm good. Become the church. Be the church. Do what God has called you to do. So you've got to take the first step. You've got to climb the cliff. You've got to pick the fight. And perhaps the Lord will work on your behalf. Some of you are scared to death to do anything for God. Because you'll be laughed at, you'll be mocked, you'll be questioned. It may cost you money, it may cost you time, it may cost you energy. And you're like, I just don't have time for it. I'd rather be a sightseer. I'd rather be a rim hugger. And God says, get in the game. It's time to go all out. If that's you today, make a commitment to God to go all out. Some of you are letting fear dictate what you're going to do. Pick a fight. Play offense. Don't let fear make your decisions for you. Seek God's wisdom. Seek God's plan for your life and go all out. Some of you have never even gotten in the game yet. You may attend church. You may come to church from time to time. You may talk about God. But there's a world of difference between knowing about God and knowing God. If you've never made a decision to follow God and to make Him your God and to let Him dictate what you will do and what you will not do, to give your life to Him, today's the day to do that. Will you come to Christ? So as Chris plays, I invite you to stand. Do business with God. Seek His face. The altar's open. I encourage you to come and pray. Tell God you're willing to go all out for Him. You will follow Him. You're willing to fail. And if you've never given your life to Him, let's talk about that today. Father God, we thank You that You are a God who responds to faith, and You respond to us living out what You've called us to do. The most repeated part of Scripture, or the most repeated phrase in Scripture, is fear not. So God, I pray that we would not let fear dictate our decisions. That we would decide that it's more important for us to live in faith. It's more important for us to go all out. It's more important for us to become climbers than rim huggers and sightseers. So, Father, I pray that You would give us the strength, give us the remembrance to do all we can for You and Your glory. Father, I pray that You'd be with those who are making decisions, those who are hurting. I pray that You would bless them. Father, I pray that You would work in and through our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.